Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Barely Backcountry Podcast. Today we are doing another draw applications episode with Dave Barnett. Today's state is Nevada. You guys are actually listening to this podcast about 5 minutes after I recorded it. So getting it out, quick turnaround for you guys. I know the deadline is coming up here in just a few days. So for any of you that, you know, waited a little bit to get your draw application in, hopefully this will give you some last minute advice. Nevada is one of my favorite states to hunt. In my opinion, they have one of, if not the best application process out there between all of your other Western states. So definitely a state to check out. Lots of opportunity in Nevada, you know, for, you know, even some of your more desired species like your sheep and all that. So definitely a state to check out, even if you are a non-resident. But before we get into that, make sure you guys check out the podcast on Instagram. It's barely_backcountry_podcast on Instagram. And then my personal is c.dillashaw. Again, guys, give the podcast a like, a follow, a share, all those good things. It's all greatly appreciated. But without any further ado, I'll get you guys into this podcast with Dave. All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Barely Backcountry Podcast. Today we're doing another application series, draw application series episode. Today we're covering my home state of Nevada, and we got Dave Barnett on the line again. So, Dave, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great, man. Glad to be on again. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. So, Nevada, I mean, Nevada's been one of my favorite states to hunt, although I haven't hunted many outside of it. And in my opinion, I think Nevada has one of the better draw systems out there. So let's go. Let's get into Nevada and talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Nevada offers a lot. You know, it's a different hunting environment than a lot of Western hunters are used to at times. You know, and there's a lot of opportunity there. Obviously, Nevada's known for producing some giant animals, but there's some opportunity hunts there to be had. You know, and like you noted, their point system, which we'll break that down here shortly, but their point system is a good one to look at, especially if you're starting out with no points. You know, it can be advantageous for kind of that low point person. So yeah, I mean, with their point system now, they use a true bonus point system, and your points are squared in the state. So with these point systems now, you never have guaranteed tags. So you look at a state like Colorado, where, you know, at a certain amount of points, you will draw a tag. You're never guaranteed a tag in Nevada. But basically the more points you have, the higher likelihood you have a drawing because your points are squared. Now, so basically with that, if you have 10 points, you have 100 chances in the hat plus your current year's app, you know, so the more points you have, better your chances of drawing. But with that being said, because of that, like we mentioned earlier, if you're a person starting out with 0 or 1 points or just a handful of points, there's always an opportunity to draw every single tag. Wow. Might be a really, really small opportunity, yeah, but there is a chance there. And again, kind of going back to the Colorado example, if I'm looking at a hunt that takes 10 preference points to draw and I have 8 points to draw, my odds of drawing that hunt are 0%. Whereas in Nevada, I do have a percentage. So, you know, it's definitely a state that's worth checking out. You know, and like I said, you know, it's largely known for, it's really more prolific type tags, which can be kind of depressing when you start looking at the draw odds for them.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're a person that's willing to look for different opportunities, you know, there's definitely some low hanging fruit there in the state.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of my favorite places to hunt in Nevada it's an archery deer tag, but it's a 0 point in draw every year for residents, at least. So for residents, there's a ton of opportunity, and non-residents, there's still, you know, maybe not as much for your, you know, elk, but a lot of opportunity for, you know, deer and, you know, archery antelope for non-residents there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Points.
And the other kind of cool thing that I like with Nevada is that their archery season's beginning so early.
Yeah.
You know, typically there's opening around the 10th or so of August. You know, you could potentially have a whole deer hunt under your belt before most Western states are even opening. You know, so Nevada kind of fits the bill for, you know, like I said, again, if you're planning for kind of a lifetime of holding on to points and going for a trophy animal, if you're looking for a really cool state to throw in and, you know, kind of fill in some hunts, yeah, definitely a good state to look at.
Definitely. Well, let's get into kind of how their draw process works before we start talking about like the species and stuff. I know we talked about their point system a little bit.
So yeah, you do have, like I said, bonus point system for your draws there in Nevada. Your big game draw application deadline this year is May 10th. So May 10th is your last day to get your points in, or excuse me, get your app in. If you're wanting to build just points only, you also submit your app at that time. So you have a bonus point you can apply for, or you can apply in the draw. And if you're unsuccessful, you get a point after. So typically the points only option, they really don't recommend those unless you just, you know, you want to build a point and you know you can't make a hunt happen this year. But with the draw system in Nevada, like we said, there's always a chance to draw. So if you're applying just to build a point and you're open to the chance of a hunt this year, make sure you throw in on a hunt. It's always a good option there. So yeah, May 10th is going to be your deadline for that. Nevada is a pretty quick state. Generally, they turn around their draw results fairly quickly.
Yeah, I think this year they're saying they'll be out on or before the 19th of May.
Yep, exactly. So that, yeah, you know, you're generally, you know, a week to 10 days or so in your turnaround time. Sometimes they hit a little bit earlier than that, but, you know, it's not a state that's going to make you wait several weeks to several months, you know, to get into your draw results. So fairly quick turnaround with that. When applying, you do need to have a current hunting license when you apply.
Yep.
So make sure, you know, whether you're resident or non-resident, make sure you go and get your hunting license when you apply. And that'll get you put in there. Now, the other kind of cool thing that I do like with Nevada, which you don't really see this doesn't really come into play too much because they do have a later draw deadline, but Nevada does allow you to return your tags, and you can also get your tag fees back and your points reinstated. Gotcha. Which is kind of a nice thing. Now, with Nevada coming later in the year, you know, this might not be something that people have to utilize a lot, whereas we look at some other states, you know, say if you're drawing a tag in January, it's nice to know, you know, what else you're going to have that ability to turn that tag in if you draw anything else, you know. So you don't really run into too many conflicting draws, if you will, with Nevada once you get later in the year. But that is a nice perk if something comes up or you do happen to pull another tag or, you know, plans change. You can always turn your tag back in. And get your points back. There are some separate rules with that. It kind of depends on the species you're looking at. Just for instance, typically like a deer, elk, antelope tag, you can turn those in the day before the season begins. But you start getting more your high-profile stuff, sheep and goat, those have to be turned in, I believe it's 30 days before the early season begins.
Gotcha.
So you do have some things there you kind of want to keep an eye on. But again, you know, it's going to be kind of a moot point for most people. But you do have those opportunities. Kind of the big thing to really talk about going into the Nevada draw is that you actually have 5 hunt choices that you can list on your app, and the state is going to look at all 5 of those, which is a little bit different, whereas most of your western states that you apply for are typically going to be like a first choice state. So the state's going to look at everybody's first choices and then not hand out any second choice tags until all the first choices have been gone through. Whereas in Nevada, again, you get 5 choices, and what they're going to do is everybody at the beginning of the draw is going to get assigned a random number. They're going to pull your application number and they're going to look at your 5 hunt choices, starting with number 1 and then moving on. If they pull out number 1 and there's a slot available for you, they're going to place you into choice 1. If they pull out number 1 and there's no tags available, they're going to move to choice 2 and check that one and then move on if necessary from there. So it gets into, there is some tactic for sure in Nevada. You know, if I'm looking at 2 hunts, I have 1 hunt that I'm absolutely shooting for the stars on, and I have a 1% chance of drawing. And but there's this other hunt that I'm okay with hunting, but, you know I can draw it and sit whatever 80% odds at my current point level. If I list that hunt with the higher odds, the 80% odds, if I list that as my number 1 choice, my odds of drawing that tag are really damn good. And my odds of drawing that other hunt with the 1% odd, even if there was tags available, is really not good. So you always want to kind of set your application up to where, generally speaking, your lowest odds hunts are going to be your first and second choice and so on. Or say your more desirable hunt is going to be the ones that's going to be listed, say your first, second, third choice or what have you. But you want to tier those out. So essentially giving yourself the best opportunity to draw the best tag that you possibly can.
For sure. Yeah, that's definitely a strategy I've used throughout Nevada. But so as far as like non-residents go, like what kind of, obviously there's a chance even at 0 points, but if we're talking like elk, like I said, deer and antelope, there's, especially on archery side, there is an opportunity at low point levels. But for non-residents that want to go hunt Nevada elk, what kind of timeline are they looking at? What kind of strategy should they be going for there? Should they really only look at the units that down the road they have a decent shot on, or what do you saying there?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it kind of boils down to personal preference there. I mean, you know, maybe what points you're holding in other states and how you kind of want. And like we talked about before, like if you're going for just, you know, I want to kill a 380 plus bull. You know, that's you can certainly do that in Nevada, you know, but you're going to be sitting for a long time on points, more than likely. I mean, you could get lucky and you could pull that tag the first year you apply, but, you know, very, very, very slim chance of that happening. You know, I mean, you're likely talking, you know, a 15, 20 plus year weight minimum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certainly some options on the lower side. You know, when it comes to elk, I mean, there's some things you can draw on the low side. For me personally, I guess I almost look at some other Western states that I can get in and hunt a little bit more often. You know, but on the same breath of saying that, there's terrain types and hunting conditions that you'll find in Nevada that you won't find elsewhere. You know, so I mean, you know, if you're chasing those types of experiences, you know, it's certainly a state to be looking at with that. You know, so I mean, there is some lower point opportunities. I think you'll find a lot more when you start getting into the deer end of the thing of the world. Yeah. You know, but there's some stuff there for elk. But I mean, in general for elk, I mean, you know, you're talking some points to get into a tag.
For sure. Yeah. And Nevada's, at least their archery elk dates are pretty early. A lot of times in some places that season will be over before the peak rut even hits. You know, it's,
yeah.
You know, that season ends 15th or 16th of September usually.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So you might be dealing with situations. I mean, you know, on some of those later hunts like that or the 16th, I mean, you're getting some rutting activity, but yeah, I mean, for the most part, you know, in what most people see when they close their eyes and you know, and envision that, you know, limited entry archery elk hunt, it's not quite the same always. Yeah. You know, there are some hunts that I think there might have been one or two that ran out towards the end of September. You know, but yeah, most of them are ending mid September. You know, so you're fairly early and you're seeing most of your rut hunting, you know, a little bit closer to some of your rifle and muzzleloader seasons.
Definitely. What else about elk? Is there anything else other than they do have a wait period in Nevada if you do draw your tag? Let's talk about that real quick before we get into the other species.
Yeah. Yeah, sure thing. Yeah, so yeah, in Nevada, if you draw a tag, sometimes whether you kill or not, you're subject to certain waiting periods on each of your tags. I'm pulling those. I actually just had those pulled up about a minute ago, the exact specific waiting times. I want to say, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, I want to say elk was 7 years.
Yeah. I'm almost positive it's either 5 or 7. I couldn't remember if it went from 10 to 7 or from 7 to 5 because I know they lowered it a few years back.
Yeah, so elk, you're at 7 years.
Okay.
That's whether you harvest or not. So if you draw a tag, you have to wait 7 years before you can apply for that species again. Okay. Deer, you don't have a waiting period. So you can draw a deer tag, apply the next year. Antelope, you have 3 years. And then sheep, you have 10. The other thing to note on that, you do also have mountain goat at 10 years, which kind of an interesting thing this year is Nevada is actually going to have a non-resident mountain goat license for 2023, which they haven't had in several years. So if you're a non-resident and you currently have points in Nevada, it may be good throwing in on that mountain goat tag this year. But, you know, it's going to be dismally low odds, but there is an opportunity opening up this year for that, which is definitely a nice thing.
Awesome. Well, let's real quick. Let's touch on like you know the art or not necessarily archery, but antelope and deer, and then we can get into more of those, you know, like the higher end species like the sheep and goat and stuff. But you know, like we mentioned, antelope and deer, there is a decent amount of opportunity for non-residents at low point numbers.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you start looking through. I mean, you know, generally, obviously, archery is going to be kind of your way to go as far as your barrier of entry, low points.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, most of your antelope hunts, say in the 0 to 3 point realm or so, you know, you're going to be, you know, 0 to 2%. But there's a few hunts in there that start jumping up into that like 5 to 10% chance of drawing or more. Mm-hmm. You know, in most cases, you know, I mean, I think if you dedicated a good solid 7 to 10 years, in Nevada, you have pretty good likelihood of pulling a good tag in that time, you know, as far as archery is concerned. You start getting into rifle again, you know, I mean, your odds are just, it's low, you know, kind of all over the place, but the main perk that you're getting into there again is just, you have that chance to draw any year that you put in,
yeah.
You know, so there's always that probability on there. You can also go the muzzleloader route. Muzzleloaders, you definitely see a little bit better odd with those. Kind of the same thing as when you get into archery, you start hitting like that 5+ point range and your random odds start getting pretty decent in quite a few hunts for antelope. You know, so again, there's definitely some opportunity there. I think with like most Western states, typically your archery hunts for antelope is where you see your best odds for sure. You know, depending on you know, the type of hunter you are and what you're after. I think an archery antelope hunt is a lot of fun to do.
Yeah.
You know, so there's certainly some opportunities there. And again, you're kind of going into it looking at, you know, how do I want to treat this state? You know, how do I want to hunt this state? The thing with antelope is even on some of these low point units, you can still kill some really nice bucks on them.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely. Certainly some opportunity there. You know, you kind of balance that against, I mean, if you are an antelope guy in particular, balance that against, you know, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, some of these states have easier to get tags, you know, and just kind of see how it fits in your overall application strategy, whether Nevada's a state you just want to purely use for just shooting for the stars and just kind of banking on that random aspect of their draw and just hoping to pull a tag one day, you know, or if it's one you want to try to pull, you know, a tag a little bit more often and just, you know, and be satisfied hunting nice bucks.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say Nevada holds the biggest antelope in the country by any means, but
right.
There's still some big antelope killed out in Nevada every year.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And especially, I mean, yeah, you start talking just, you know, a good, solid, mature goat, you know, in that 75 plus range, you know, is doable in a lot of areas.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of areas.
For sure. So let's get into deer real quick. That's probably the biggest opportunity for non-residents looking to come hunt Nevada.
Yeah, most definitely.
There for a deer hunt.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, so same thing with antelope. When you get into deer, you know, archery typically is going to hold your best odds of drawing. You know, when you start looking at your random odds on, you know, on archery, I mean, obviously there's some prolific units, but there's a lot of units even at 0 points, you know, where you're sitting with pretty decent, you know, 10% shot or so. Mm-hmm. So pretty damn good in the random side. There's quite a few hunts on the archery side that you can draw with just a handful of points. So you certainly have some opportunities to get in there. Obviously, when we start talking, you know, some of your better units, your rifle hunts are going to soak up your most of the attention. You know, have the worst draw odds. You know, a lot of those hunts can be pretty brutal. And then also you get into some of your later season type hunts. So late rifles, late muzzleloader hunts. Those can typically be in really, really good situations as far as dates are concerned, because you get kind of more migratory type deer. Big bucks can be a little bit easier to find at times. But obviously your odds are dismal on those too. You do have some late archery hunts though that you could check into. A lot of those hunts are hitting kind of right around the rut. So if you're an archery guy, that late archery hunt can be kind of a good opportunity to, you know, get into more desirable dates, but not be competing with everybody that's throwing out a rifle tag. Uh-huh. You know, so there is some opportunity there again, but yeah, mainly, and if you're an archery deer hunter, there's some really good options to be looking at.
For sure. Let's talk about the youth hunts real quick for deer, because they made some changes to that as far as antlered and antlerless and all that. Touch on that real quick.
Yeah. So yeah, as far as youth are considered, you have basically your resident junior tags in Nevada. And namely with those, they're multi-season tags. So you can hunt several seasons available within those units. And you have really good shot on those. You know, I mean, it's considering somebody starting out in Nevada, you know, if you're a, you know, a youth and going from there, I mean, your youth's the best opportunity to draw some really good tags.
Yeah.
You know, so certainly if you're young and you're listening to the podcast right now, you know, it'd be a great thing to get your parents on. But yeah, I mean, if you have any kids coming up at all, you know, checking into those resident youth tags in Nevada can be really, really good to look at. You know, I mean, even some of the better units, there's phenomenal odds of drawing a tag on.
Absolutely. Yeah. So typically those hunts in the past few years have been any deer. You could kill a doe or a buck. But this year they changed quite a few of the units to being only a buck. There's still a couple that are a doe, right?
Yeah.
Kill a doe.
Yep. Yeah, correct. Yeah. So yeah, for the most part, you're dealing with, you know, with buck only, which, you know, again, kind of boils down to your aspirations on the hunt. But yeah, so, you know, that's one thing you will see is the antlerless opportunities. You don't see quite a bit, you know, quite as much in a state like Nevada as you do in other states. You know, but that's where kind of that quality of hunting comes into play too.
For sure. Well, let's get into kind of the more specialty species. Probably the one that Nevada's most known for, and they give out more tags for this species than any other state, I believe, is going to be the desert bighorns.
Yeah, desert bighorn. That's a big draw. I mean, you know, like you noted, Nevada gives out the most tags of any sheep. And that's what their desert bighorn sheep, and in particular, non-resident tags. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a sheep hunt. Your odds suck no matter where you go, you know, but when you start looking at, a lot of the changes that are occurring in the West right now. I mean, Wyoming is a prime example. You look at the change that Wyoming did to their non-resident tag allocation this last year, and it screwed a lot of people with points because of their preference point system. Yeah. And the way their tag system works, you know, a lot of these guys that don't have enough points to compete are now only holding out for a random tag, and there's virtually no random tags available. So when you start looking at a state like Nevada that has so many potential sheet tags available to the non-resident side, it gets a lot more attractive because, yeah, you know, you can't count on, hey, once I get 20 points, I know I'll pull this tag. But, you know, while I'm waiting for all my other sheep apps to do their, you know, do their thing across the West, I have the potential every single year of drawing a tag in Nevada. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a lot of tags. And then you couple that with great trophy potential and a lot of units, and, you know, you start dealing with some pretty good looking sheep draws. You know, it's definitely one to be considered. You know, kind of the other nice thing that I like with Nevada's draw system is that you have dedicated non-resident tag numbers, you know, on particular hunts. So, I mean, you know, going into the draw, there's a potential of you drawing that hunt. And it's not something where, you know, you have to do all the math to figure out, you know, hey, is there a random tag available on this hunt? Like, you know, if that hunt's there, you know, there's a chance. You know, so yeah, I think this is a great sheep state. I mean, not only is it a, you know, different subspecies you get a chance at, but, you know, great odds of pulling a tag, you know, respectively speaking.
For sure. And a couple of years ago, they added an archery only tag, which is still low odds, but slightly better odds than your rifle tags.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's always cool to see on your more, you know, kind of well-known species like that, to see archery opportunities added, because typically they carry a little bit better odds. You know, so it kind of adds a little bit of extra perk for the archery hunter to jump in there. I mean, I can imagine it'd be a little scary kind of dealing with a once in a lifetime hunt for the most part on an archery mm-hmm. license. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that, you know, that perk's always there to get into.
For sure. And then I don't know if this is resident only option, but they have the management ram option as well, which is like a one horn ram.
Yeah. So yeah, those are a resident only perk. But yeah, they're really cool. Basically it's broken horn rams that you're dealing with, one horned rams, which is really cool. Cause I mean, you know, I mean, they don't look as cool, obviously, as a ram with two horns. Not you're dealing with just an old crusty troll that's lived on the mountains for years. And, you know, like the only reason he isn't dead is hunters haven't shot him, cause he has one horn. You know, I mean, you're dealing still with, I mean, just giant potential of rams, you know, big rams are just missing one side, you know, so really cool opportunity to get in there, you know, and look at that hunt. You know, it can be a kind of a cool opportunity, obviously, if you are a resident. You know, the odds are better than the other sheep hunt, so yeah, there's definitely something to look at there.
Cool. And then does Nevada have Rocky Mountain sheep as well? I can't remember if that's a draw up or not.
Yeah, they do. It is. There's only, I'm trying to remember right now, there's only just a couple of hunts, like two hunts for them. Yeah. So basically, yeah, your three subspecies that you have are your desert bighorns, your Nelsons, your California bighorns, and then your Rocky bighorns.
Gotcha.
Residents, basically non-residents, can apply for the Nelson or the desert bighorn, and also the California bighorns. Your Rocky, that's only a resident hunt.
Okay.
And then that being said too, not every hunt that is available as, say, a desert bighorn hunt can be applied for by non-residents. There has to be a non-resident quota available in that. You know, so you will see some rotation there from year after year. You know, but yeah, so yeah, you do have opportunity, essentially, for three ram species in there. You know, within that state, obviously a California and a Rocky kind of count the same in terms of your Grand Slam, your Boone and Crockett, but yeah, there's definitely some cool opportunity there for sheep.
Awesome. And then we touched on it briefly earlier, but goats this year, Rocky Mountain goats, there is some opportunity for non-resident there this year.
Yeah, so they did add a non-resident tag in Unit 102. So kind of a cool thing. They haven't had a mountain goat non-resident tag in as long as I can remember in that state. You know, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, how many people have still had points and have been paying attention to this and jump into it this year. And, you know, there could be some good opportunity there. I mean, you're always hopeful when you see a new sheep or goat or moose hunt or something, but I mean, usually it's not the case, but you know, you can always keep your fingers crossed.
For sure. And then probably the last species in Nevada, I know it's not necessarily the best opportunity in the West, but there are black bear tags in Nevada.
Yeah. Black bear. Yeah. So yeah, your black bear hunts. Now you have essentially like one hunt that you can apply for. number of units on your on the west side of the state. So yeah, kind of a, you know, it's just like turkey in Nevada. You don't typically think of it, but there are some there, and you can hunt them. You know, so yeah, there is the black bear hunting opportunity in Nevada. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're a person that wanted to build points and just have Western hunting experience, it's a point you can build, and it's a species you can go hunt. If you're a person that wants to hunt black bear, there's way more accessible hunts to get into. But yeah, it is there.
Absolutely. Cool. And then Nevada throughout the year, they have a few draws. I know the non-resident guided draw happened a month or so ago. Like yep. we mentioned, the 10th is the main draw deadline, but then they have a second draw that happens, you know, sometime in June, I believe. So kind of explain how that works and what that entails.
Yeah. I'm pulling up see if I can pull up the deadline real quick. Yeah. So your secondary draw basically is on the tags that weren't drawn in your first draw. You can go through and do your second draws. That is, yeah, it's around the middle of June. I can't remember the exact date on it now. So it comes up fairly quickly after the main draw. Yeah. Another opportunity to get in there and get tags. I mean, the big thing with like leftover type draws like that too, that I tend to warn people with on the get-go is that generally there's generally a reason a hunt went leftover. Yeah. So kind of keep that in mind as you're looking through. You're never really going to find like a screaming hunt that made it through the cracks per se. Especially with five choices, you know, on your application leading up to that. But you know, when you get into those leftover tags, take a look at them, you know, and ask yourself, okay, you know, I know this hunt was leftover for a reason, but like, what was that reason? You know, was it because there's crazy low animal densities? Was it because there's a bunch of private land? You know, I mean, there can be things that kind of play into it. Sometimes I can find ways to hunt around it. I mean, let's say, you know, whatever, for conversation's sake, I didn't draw anything this year and an archery deer tag comes up, but I know it's got a bunch of private land.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, okay, whatever. But looking at it, I'm like, hey, you know, there's 10% public land. Like there is some opportunity on this hunt. Like, hey, maybe that's one I just throw in on the hunt, you know, the tag sitting there.
Yeah.
Now, the other really cool thing that I like with Nevada and one of our favorite summer activities is the first come, first serve system. So the first come, first serve in Nevada, any tags that get turned back in throughout the year. So let's say I drew an elk tag this archery season and whatever, I can't make the hunt, so I turn the tag back in. That tag is now going to go into the first come first serve system. So essentially there's a separate website on NDAS website, separate webpage, I should say. And these first come first serve tags are literally just going to pop up at random. They could pop up at 3 a.m, could be 4 p.m, doesn't matter. They're going to pop up at random on this website. And the first person that's eligible that grabs that tag and buys it gets the tag. So it's a really, really cool perk. They did make a few changes in that. So this system came up a couple years ago. It got abused really hard the first two that came out. They've tightened down on it pretty hard. One change that they made for 23 is that now the reissue tag, it can only go to the residency that it was originally issued to. Mm-hmm. So if a resident turns back in a tag, that tag can only be picked up by a resident. And same thing for a non-resident tag. It used to be it was just a tag. The tag popped up, whoever got it. Now they're holding to, you know, was distributed to a non-resident, was distributed to a resident. So it really kind of cut down on some of the really cool factor with that draw, but there's still some opportunity to be had there. Yeah. I mean, every year a sheep tag goes through first come, first serve. Like there's some really cool hunts that can pop. I mean, you never know. You could be dealing with a bunch of garbage hunts and all of a sudden, you know, 231 deer tag throws. I mean, you never know when something's going to come up. So that's kind of the cool thing with the first come first serve. You do use your points on that if you pull a tag off that. So, which I'm kind of in favor of. I mean, if you're sitting there and you have 5 points and a deer tag comes up and you want it, your 5 points are gone.
Yep.
But it's kind of a cool way to continually keep people moving through the system, use up all these return permits, you know, and keep point systems, or excuse me, keep the points, you know, down to minimal as much as you can. It's a really cool opportunity to allow you to kind of jump in there. Like I said, I shop the heck out of the first come first serve. Once I kind of have my year figured out, I'm just kind of looking for gaps. So, you know, where can I fit in another hunt? Man, that first come first serve, it's fun to have that thing rolling all day.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. If you are listening and you have a desk job, this is a great opportunity for you.
Most definitely. Yeah. So they did do a little bit of cracking down. I haven't been able to find any proof. I've heard it a lot, but I know the first year, like the big play was you open up as many tabs as you could on your computer and have it running on the first come first serve. And I heard that like multiple IP address issues, that type of thing. So, I mean, gotcha. For the most part, you know, yeah, just open a tab up on your computer if you're sitting there and just keep checking it. You know, you'll get timed out and then you'll forget and you have to go log back in and all that. But, you know, it's a good thing to keep up. You never know. I mean, you see a lot of antelope tags come up, a lot of deer tags. I want to say, too, trying to remember specifics, I believe the tags will not populate until it's within the 2-week window of that season starting.
So I believe if a tag gets turned in before those 2 weeks, if there is an alternate, because you can request to be an alternate when you apply, it will go to an alternate if it's outside of 2 weeks of the season. So that is one thing to keep in mind. If you pick up a tag on the first come, first serve, you aren't going to have much time, if any, to go out and scout. It's going to be on very short notice.
Yes, so. 100%. Yeah, you pretty much are buying the tag and packing your bags. So you'll start seeing, you know, around early August, you'll start seeing some of those archery hunts start to pop up on there. It's exciting, you know, throughout the year, just kind of keep tabs on that. You know, I mean, you're not always going to be, you know, 99% of the time it's a tag you don't want, or it's one on the complete opposite end of the state you don't want to go to, or, you know, whatever. Mm. But yeah, there's good tags that hit and somebody's got to get them.
Definitely. I think one other thing with that, if you add a tag to your cart, whether you end up buying it or not, you're locked out for like a week, right?
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a new one that they changed too. So yeah, essentially once you add a tag to your cart, I believe it's 7 days for that species, you're locked out.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be, and this is kind of where I was talking about people abusing this, where you could literally add a tag to your cart and then you can sit there and decide if you wanted it or not.
Uh-huh.
So people, as soon as a tag became available, somebody would add it to their cart, pulls it off the system, whether they wanted it or not. And then if they decided they did not want that tag got recycled on the next first come first serve sale. So there was a lot of talk that you had people in the industry sitting on computers and helping friends and that kind of thing, which whatever, you know, if you want to help buddies, that's cool. But you know, Nevada's done a lot of work in order to make that as fair and as level as possible, which I definitely appreciate.
One thing about that though, I will say, and I don't know if they fixed it, but I remember this being an issue the first year it came out, was if you added a tag to your cart, it no longer told you what unit it was for. All it said was a deer tag or elk tag or whatever. So if you added it to your cart too fast and didn't read what tag it was, there was no way to find out unless you bought that.
No idea. Which, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. I've not seen that because I've not been fortunate enough to come across one that I bought. The first year I did have a couple that I threw in there and ended up not getting. But yeah, I haven't gone that far into the process yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely made that mistake a few times the first year by adding a tag to my cart too fast and then not remembering what exactly it was and just deciding to not buy that tag. So I don't know if that's still an issue, but if it is, if you're playing that game, make sure you take the extra 2 seconds to read what tag it is.
Yeah. Because the difference between a good tag and just a horrible tag, you know, it might not be much sometimes.
Yeah, it could be the difference in one unit number. So
yes, exactly. Right. Exactly.
Cool, man. Well, is there anything else we need to touch on about Nevada?
I think we pretty much hit the most of it. I guess the main thing I'd just leave everybody with on Nevada is Nevada's a strange state. It's kind of out there on its own. It's a goofy state, but man, there's some really good hunting opportunity. I mean, in general, it's a state that you're holding on to points for a long time in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but your trade-off being generally, there's some phenomenal hunting in that state. But that being said, again, if you're willing to look and, you know, deal with, you know, some scorching hot temps and, you know, maybe a lot of private land in some areas, like there is some good archery hunts you can get into in that state. Absolutely. So, you know, if you're a person that's just open to just getting tags and experience in the West, check out Nevada. There's some good options there. And again, I mean, if you had any amount of money laying around and you just wanted to put in on a draw that gave you good random odds, Nevada's a good one to look at.
For sure.
You know, real good state to look at. So yeah, I would tell anybody, you know, if you're looking to build points in the West, definitely be checking out Nevada. You know, it holds a lot of promise, you know, no matter what your aspirations are.
Definitely. Yeah. And as far as applying in Nevada, it's not too expensive. I will say a non-resident elk tag in Nevada is one of your more expensive ones. It's right at about $1,200 if you draw that tag as a non-resident, but
yep.
Actually, yep. Applying for it is not very expensive at all.
Yeah, your application fees. I mean, elk, you're $16. Pretty much everything else, like deer, elk, antelope, you're like $11. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's fairly inexpensive to apply overall. But yeah, you know, like you noted, I mean, your elk tags $1,200, sheep tags $1,200. Your deer tags are cheap though.
Yeah,
sub $300 for a deer antelope tag, like dirt cheap compared to everybody else. But yeah, $1,200. You know, I mean, it's crazy. You know, because looking at it, you're like, oh yeah, $1,200, but like. In this day and age, with a lot of things going on, that's starting to get kind of to be the norm, or even on the cheap end.
Yeah,
you know, so many things. I mean, it's crazy how much hunting's starting to cost. I mean, it's always been expensive, but it's getting even more expensive now.
For sure, for sure. All right. Well, once again, what was that deadline again for the?
Yeah. So, yeah, May 10th, and that's going to be at 11 p.m. Pacific time.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And that is the deadline to apply and also the deadline to buy points as well.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And then, as you noted earlier, draw results are expected on or before May 19th. Typically, they're a little bit ahead of that, but yeah. You know, at the very least, I mean, you're talking just over a week, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And Nevada does not charge you up front during the draw. They charge you when the actual draw happens.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So basically what you'll pay when you first apply, your hunting license fee, your required application fees. And then, yeah, if you draw and you're successful, then your tag fee.
Cool. Awesome, man. Well, Dave, thanks again for coming on. I appreciate it. So good luck in the Nevada draw. And I will, we'll talk to you later and we'll get you on here for another state in the near future.
Absolutely. Yeah. You too, man. Good luck.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
All right, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed that podcast with Dave Barnett. Hopefully it helps you out a little bit in the Nevada draw. Like we said, it's definitely a state checking out for non-residents. There's always a chance for you guys, even if you have 0 points, if it's your first year applying, you know, and even if you are a non-resident in Nevada, you could still draw a top-tier unit for any species with 0 points, even if the chances are extremely slim. So definitely a state to check out. Once again, that deadline was May 10th, so coming up here in a few days. But before I let you guys go, make sure you guys check out the podcast on social media. It's barely_backcountry_podcast on Instagram. Then my personal is c.dillashaw. Make sure you guys give the podcast a like, a follow, a share. All those good things are greatly appreciated. Leave reviews, all that good stuff. But that is it for this week, and I will see you guys on the next one.